Good to be with you and that we can enjoy this Valentine's Day together, a cultural holiday. They didn't know that back, didn't have that holiday back in Bible times. The children of Israel didn't celebrate it. The early church didn't celebrate it. But it's a nice reminder of particularly romantic love, but really just love in general. In fact, the bulletin today, you see the pretty roses on there. Kim, those are for you, by the way. So I'm going to get four of these bulletins. I'll have a dozen. So I want to get that four. But it says, love is of God. Love is of God. And it's a joy to think in a special way. It always is. Of God's love for us. Just what we sang, Jesus loves me. And I thought about that in some of the other songs that we sang this morning too. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 to get us started this morning. We're going to continue on our study that we've been doing. We've been thinking about the nation of Israel as they're entering the promised land, and Joshua is leading the people into this land that had been promised years before to their forefathers, to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and now they're actually there. It's taken a long time to get there. They've gone through a lot of difficulties. They've been in bondage, but been redeemed out of bondage by the blood of an innocent and acceptable sacrifice, of course, representing for us the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless one, the only one who could take our place before God. And he did that, and how thankful we are. And they have gone through the wilderness. Part of that was God's perfect plan. Another part of that time in the wilderness was a result of their own unbelief and disobedience. But now they're there. At the edge of the promised land. And we're thinking a little bit about, as they could look back and think about the spies, the explorers who went in and brought back some samples of that promised land. And we're looking in the book of Ephesians, and there in verse 3 of Ephesians 1, we've been reminded recently of this verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And as we think about the spiritual blessings that God has given to the believer in the Lord Jesus, and we've stressed that these blessings are spiritual blessings, and these blessings have already been given to the one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, to the ones who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Our responsibility is to appropriate them, just as the nation of Israel is getting ready to go into the promised land. But when they get there, it's not just going to be a matter of walking up and saying, oh, here's my new land. There's going to be some enemies there trying to stop them. And so we know that as we seek to appropriate these blessings and make them real in our own lives on a day-to-day basis, that there are enemies there seeking to stop us. And we're going to be looking at that particularly in chapters 4 through 6 when we get there in Ephesians. But so far we've looked at chapter 1, some of the blessings, spiritual blessings are there. We've looked in chapter 2, and last time we looked in chapter 3. But there was one blessing in chapter 3 that we didn't have time to get to, and it really worked out well, and I was hoping maybe that we could save it for today, because it's one that's particularly appropriate for this day, Valentine's Day. It's love. Now I want you to look with me, if you will, over in chapter 3, and we're going to start our reading at verse 14. And we're going to read down through the end of the chapter. And this, of course, is Paul's second prayer for the Ephesians that he has recorded. One was in Ephesians chapter 1, and now we read this prayer in Ephesians 3. And it begins in verse 14. And he said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. We're going to be looking at love this morning, the love of Christ particularly. And we're going to look at it in the context of this prayer. Paul, as we have seen already, he prays, and he's praying that in essence they will experience what God has already said is theirs. And he's writing here, of course, to the saints. We saw last time, the saints are the holy ones, the ones who've been made holy in Christ Jesus, not by anything that they have done, that we have done, but by what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And we find here that as he prays for these believers in the Lord Jesus, he prays, first of all, there in verse 16, that they would be strengthened. And this is an inner spiritual strength and power. And you notice that verse 17 begins with the word that, in order that, literally, or so that. So we find that really the requests in this prayer are building on each other. So we find that as we have that inner spiritual strength, we have that inner spiritual strength so that Christ may dwell, or as we saw last week, be at home in our hearts by faith. Faith is a key, of course, in the Christian life. It's by grace that we're saved through faith. We become a believer in the Lord Jesus, a believer, one who believes, one who trusts, one who has put his or her faith in the Lord Jesus. We come into the family of God. We are saved because of faith. We receive, we take the Lord Jesus at his word, and we receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Faith is the avenue by which we come into the Christian life, and it's also the avenue by which we experience the joys and blessings of the Christian life, and by which we appropriate these blessings, these spiritual blessings that Paul is sharing with us here in the book of Ephesians. And so as we are strengthened spiritually in our inner person, and Christ is at home in our hearts are open to him on a daily basis, and he has access to every part of our being, we find that there's a purpose in that also, and it leads us right into what we're going to focus on this morning, that in order that ye being rooted and grounded in love. As we read on through this request, we see that that's the love of Christ. And so we want to look at that love this morning, and we find that that love, it has a result too, as we come down to the end of verse 19, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And so as we look at this part of Paul's prayer and at this request, and we think about this blessing of love in the promised land, we want to look at three great blessings that are all tied up in this spiritual blessing of Christ's love for us. Now, we could spend hours and days and weeks and months and years, and in fact, all eternity, talking about the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ. And I believe we will spend all eternity reflecting on that and learning about that. And it's all through the Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. But we want to focus in here on the request that he's making and use the book of Ephesians and one particular passage in the book to help us to understand, to have a better recognition of what it means to be loved by Jesus Christ. Because Paul is holding this up as one of the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. And again, these blessings belong to us. They're in the bank, but we've got to take advantage of what's in the bank. And we've got to go into the promised land, not heaven, but rather the land here on earth where we are living by faith with Christ in the heavenly places, enjoying the blessings of heaven even as we walk on this earth. So we want to have a greater appreciation of the spiritual blessing of love. Three things about this love that we find in Paul's prayer. First of all, we see the blessing of trusting what cannot be touched. Trusting what cannot be touched. Look there at verse 17. Notice the second that in the middle of the verse. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. I want to make a point first off from the grammar. We look at those words there, rooted and grounded. Being rooted and being grounded in the Greek. They are in the perfect tense. This is something that has happened at some point in the past, and it doesn't need to be repeated. This also is in the voice. It's in the passive voice. In other words, it's not something we do. It's not something we do to ourselves. It's something that's done to us. We find here that we who know the Lord Jesus have been rooted and grounded in love. Now you notice there that in sharing this thought about trusting what cannot be touched, Paul is using two illustrations for us from everyday life that the people in the first century knew about and that the people in the 21st century still know about. We find there that he talks about being rooted in love. And that's the thought, of course, of a tree or any type of plant. But we might think about a tree with the roots of that tree or of that plant going down into the soil. Now, different types of trees have different root systems. But they all go down into the ground and they go out, and some of them go deeper than others. And there are many purposes for those roots. But one of the purposes of the root of a tree, the roots of a tree, is stability. Is it goes down into the soil. You know, a tree, depending on where it's planted or where it's growing, it's going to face different things from the environment. It's going to face storms. It's going to face winds. Trees around this area recently, in the last months, have experienced a lot of water in the soil around them. That's good for the root taking in nourishment and sustenance. But it also can make the soil somewhat changed. And as the wind comes along, of course, there's the opportunity, the chance that those trees could be turned over if the soil gets too saturated with water. But you know, if the roots of that tree are deep into the soil and wide along the surface even of that soil, then that tree is less likely to topple than another tree with a root system that's not as good. And so we think about us and the roots of our lives. Now, I'm talking here to the ones who know the Lord Jesus as Savior. You've been born again. You've been born from above. You've been saved by grace through faith. Now, if you're here this morning and you've not been saved by grace through faith, then I trust that these things will make you want to know the Lord Jesus and to know the love of Christ. But if you know Him as Savior, then God is telling us through the Holy Spirit by Paul's pen that the roots of our lives have been placed down into a soil, and it's the soil of the love of Christ. Now, as we think about that those roots of our lives going into the soil, we think of a living connection. And we think of the supply lines of nourishment and health that we need for our lives. But we also, and I think Paul's particular thought here, that emphasis on stability and security. So that's the first picture. You see, the tree is representing you who know the Lord Jesus, is representing you going out into the world and facing the difficulties of life and the storms of life. but your roots are down into the soil of the love of Jesus Christ for you. The other illustration is that of a building. And the building, we find it in that thought of being grounded in love. And the word there for grounded is really the word that we would think of for the foundation of a house. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7, when the Lord Jesus told the story of the two builders, one had a house and the foundation was on sand. The other had a house and his foundation was on rock, a solid foundation. And it's the same word there with the Lord Jesus used concerning that house being founded upon a rock. Is the same word here that Paul uses to tell us about our lives being grounded or founded again in the love of Christ. Now, when you build a building, or when someone builds a building, you obviously have a foundation down into the soil. Now, our son Jordan is getting ready to graduate, Lord willing, in a couple of months with a degree in civil engineering. So I could call and write to the source, get some benefit out of that investment I'm making down there at NC State. So I called and asked him about that, and he told me a little bit about the thought of engineering and foundations. And he said the very first thing you do, really it would be more in the area of geotechnical engineering. The very first thing you do before you start building the building, before you plan the building, before you have any idea about the foundation, you go and you take soil samples. Someone goes out to the site where the building's going to be constructed and you begin to take samples of that soil and check the soil. And not just near the surface, but deep down into the earth, they go down and they take samples of that soil and then they test that soil to see how it will do when a very, very, very heavy building will be placed upon it. And some types of soil are going to settle. A grainier soil, like sand, is going to tend to settle when that building is placed on it or built on it. So that has to be taken into account. And obviously, the better the soil, the more stable the building. How well is that soil packed? How much will it settle? Again, the Lord Jesus spoke of building our lives as a house on a foundation. And what is the soil of that foundation? Well, we find here that our individual lives as believers are founded on the love of Christ for us. And you know what? As you go through life as a believer in the Lord Jesus, if that's you, when you go through life, and some of you have been through more life than others, but we've all been through some of life, and we know that at times in life, there come not only storms, but there come weights, burdens. And some of you are sitting here this morning, and right now, you have a very heavy burden in your life. It may be due to a physical issue in your life. It may be to do with something in your employment. It may be a family burden that is heavy on you. It may be an uncertainty about a financial situation in your life. It may be an emotional struggle. It may be a battle with temptation. It could be many other things, but all of us know what it is to go through a burden. And most of us, to some one degree or another, have some type of burden even today. It may not be the heaviest burden you've ever had. It may not be the heaviest burden you will ever experience. But we all have the weight of burdens bearing down on our lives. But you know what? It's so comforting. It's such an encouragement to know that our lives are founded in the love of Christ. The love of Jesus Christ is the soil in which our lives are constructed. And we can be sure that that soil will never shift. We have not built our lives on shifting sand. We have not built our lives on something that near the surface is stable and secure. But down deep, it's really not. And as the weight comes on us and the building of our lives has that heavy burden, we don't have to fear that somehow that soil deep down is going to begin to shift and our lives may crumble. We don't have that fear. We don't have that fear. Should I say, we don't need to have that fear. You see, that's what it's about, going in and appropriating and taking for ourselves the blessings that are ours. You see, no matter how strong the storm is that roars into your life, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, no matter how heavy the burden becomes that is weighing down on your life as a saint, made holy by the work of Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross and Him rising from the tomb, no matter how heavy that is, no matter how bad the storm is, your foundation is going to hold. Your root system is in the soil of the love of Jesus Christ for you. And that's a love that is not dependent on you. The love of Jesus Christ is not a love that was poured out toward you because you were a good person, a lovable person. The Lord Jesus didn't tell me that He loved me because I'm lovely, but rather because He is love. That is His character, and He will not change. And the soil in which the life of the believer is founded and grounded and rooted is a soil that will never change. And you can be sure of that. And I can know that in my head, but I need to take advantage of it. The Israelites stood on the border of the promised land. And they could look out over the horizon and they could see some of that land. And there was land beyond that. And it was theirs. God said, I've given you that land. It belongs to you. The title deed in heaven has your name on it. But they had to go in and get it. They had to step out in faith and believe God and appropriate that land for their own physical lives. And for us, we have spiritual blessings in Christ, but we've got to step out in faith. We've got to believe what God says. We've got to be confident that no matter what comes against us, no matter what comes upon us, that the love of Christ is firm and solid, and it will not shift. And no matter how much we shake, and no matter how much we shiver, and no matter how much we tremble, no matter how much we fear, He is not going to change. We can be sure of that. He will not let you go. His love, as the songwriter wrote, will not let you go. You see, His love never fails. In 1 Corinthians 13, when the Holy Spirit led Paul to write concerning the love among believers, he, of course, uses the perfect standard of God's love. And there we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8 that love never fails. And you can be sure. Yes, your Valentine's love may fail sometimes. He or she will not always be perfectly what he or she should be. But God's love, the love of Jesus Christ for you, will never fail. We can't touch that love. And you know, a tree, the trunk of the tree and the branches, they're far removed, in a sense, from that soil in which the roots are so deep. The branches can't touch that soil. But that soil is holding firm the root system, and they don't need to touch it. And if a branch could think, and if a branch could believe, that branch should trust the soil in which the roots are going down. The top of a skyscraper can't touch the soil in which the foundation is. It doesn't need to. If the top of a skyscraper or any of the floors of a skyscraper or any building could think or believe, you should have confidence that the foundation is on a stable soil. And that's true for us. We can't touch it. Literally, it's a spiritual blessing, but we can trust. We can count upon God who has given us His Word, who has told us as we sang that Jesus does love us. This I know. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. I'm confident in the Word of God. The blessing of Christ's love for you. The blessing of trusting what cannot be touched. Verse 18, we see another aspect of this blessing, the blessing of comprehending what cannot be measured. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. You know, he talks here of an ability to comprehend. It's interesting, the word that the Spirit of God uses here, comprehend, in the King James Version. It means the strength, or the ability to comprehend means the strength to perceive or appropriate. And literally, this word comprehend means to take hold of, to apprehend, to make one's own, to take possession of. We're supposed to go into the land of promise, and we're supposed to take possession and appropriate and make our own what is ours. And that's the word that's used here by the Spirit of God. That we may comprehend or apprehend or make our own. Make it real in our lives. That's what God wants for you. The love of His Son for you, He wants you not only to know that it's true, He wants you to take it into your own everyday life and the struggles and problems that you are facing or will face, and hold that for your own and rest in that firm foundation of the love of Christ. Notice there that he says, I want you to be able, I'm praying that you will be able to comprehend with all saints. With all saints. Again, a saint is someone who has recognized his or her lost condition in sin, separated from God, and has been brought into a relationship with God by faith in the Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave Himself for us there at Calvary's cross and died as our perfect substitute and took the punishment for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day and offers salvation, offers forgiveness, offers relationship, offers love. And all who by faith have received the Lord Jesus, have trusted in Him, turning from everything else and turning only to the Lord Jesus for salvation, that person has been made holy in the eyes of God, has been made a saint. And this comprehension, this apprehension, taking for ourselves, this appropriation of the love of Jesus Christ is not just for certain saints. You know, sometimes in our culture, somebody will say, that person's a real saint. You know, the real saint is the person who knows Jesus Christ as Savior. And this comprehension is for all saints, not just saints who've been walking with the Lord for 50 years. Not only saints who know the Word of God better than anybody around them. Not only for saints who sense that walk in the heavenlies with Christ on a moment-by-moment basis. And that's the kind of saint we all want to be. But it's not just for those saints. It's not just for those who have matured to a certain point. It's for all saints. It's for you if you know Jesus Christ is Savior. It's for all saints. And you know, I think he also emphasizes here by saying with all saints that we do it together. We do it together. It's not just something that you do on your own. We understand the love of Christ as we function together as believers. Because you see, I learn things about the love of Christ from you. And you learn things about the love of Christ from this other saint. And this saint learns things about the love of Christ from this group of believers. And we all learn together about the love of Christ. So share what you learn. Share what you know about the love of Christ. Let it be seen in your life and share it. Well, what about these dimensions? Interesting, you know, we think of living in three dimensions, and here Paul takes it to a fourth dimension, in a sense. He has four dimensions there, and he wants us to comprehend, to apprehend, to take for ourselves the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And I think that we get in verse 19 that he's talking there of the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of Christ. I want us to look for a moment over at Ephesians chapter 2. So I wanted to keep us here in the book of Ephesians. And you know, many have brought out the truth that these four dimensions, four directions, if you will, really are there to help us to understand that the love of the Lord Jesus is vast. It's beyond measurement, and that's true. And yet he wants us to take that for ourselves and comprehend it to some degree in our own lives. And here in Ephesians chapter 2, there are many places we could go in the Scriptures, and many people have, and I hope you can think of some other examples of these dimensions. But notice in chapter 2, in verse 4 of Ephesians, Paul says there, "But God, who is rich in mercy," notice the next phrase, "for His great love wherewith He loved us." Here's God, rich in mercy. And here He is with His great love, a love that's so great that Paul says, "I want you to get a little grasp of the breadth of that and the length of that and the depth of that and the height of that." You know, the breadth of the love of Christ, we would say the width of the blood of the love of Christ. You know, when we think about how wide something is, or we think about something that is wide, we would say, well, if it's wide, then it's not narrow. It's not narrow. You know, the Jewish people, they thought, because of their relationship nationally with God, they thought that the love of God was narrow. They thought that it included only them. And if you weren't born of the line of Abraham, then you weren't going to experience the love of Christ. You know, there are some people today who would say that the love of Christ is very narrow. And there's a sense in which the love of Christ is narrow. You got to come through the narrow way, but the love's not narrow. The love's not limited. Rather, the love of Christ is wide enough to encompass all who will believe. If you question that, go down to verse 11 of chapter 2. Paul says, "Wherefore remember." Remember. He says, think back about your life before you came to know Jesus Christ as Savior, "that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh." And he's saying to those Ephesian believers, you weren't and you aren't of the line physically of Abraham. Okay? What did that mean? Well, verse 11, "who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." No, they said you were outside of the love of God. Verse 12, "that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." You see, the love of Christ is wide enough to reach out and to embrace all who will turn to Him in faith. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. And the love of Jesus Christ is wide enough to encompass anyone of any race, of any background, of any mental capability, of any language, of any location. He can reach out, and He does, and He wants to pull us to Himself. And how wide is the love of Christ? It's wide enough to encompass all who will believe. You know, there are times as a believer when sometimes I feel like surely I'm outside of the love of Christ. But I'm not. And you're not if you know Jesus Christ as Savior. His arms reach out. And Paul says, I want you to know the width, something of the width of the love of Christ. And what about the length? How long is the love of Christ? Look at chapter 2 and verse 7 here in Ephesians. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Over in chapter 1 in verse 4, we saw that God had chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That looks back to eternity past. And now in verse 7 of chapter 2, talking about the great love with which God loved us, it looks forward into the ages to come, the unending ages of eternity. That's how long the love of Christ is. It's not short, impacting only this life or even a period of this life, but rather all eternity through the ages to come. God will be showing the abundant riches of His grace, His undeserved blessing in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And we're experiencing that right now, but we'll also experience that and learn more of that in the ages to come. And sometimes when I feel like my life is so short and I've wasted so much of it already, I can be reminded how long is the love of Christ. It's eternal. There's no ending. It's a forever love. Well, how deep is the love of Christ? And Paul here takes what we would take as one dimension, height or depth, and he uses it as two dimensions. How deep is the love of Christ? You know, some would say that the love of Christ is shallow. It only will reach down to those sinners who aren't too bad. The religious sinners are the ones who haven't done too many wrong things or nothing that sinful in the eyes of the culture. No, it's deep. It's deep. Deep enough, as we see at the beginning of chapter 2, deep enough to reach. Look what it says there in chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, in the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our lifestyle in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. He says, how deep is the love of Christ? It's deep enough to reach those who were spiritually dead, those who were functioning according to the direction of this world and Satan himself, to those who are the children of disobedience, the children of wrath, living in the desires of their own human flesh, fulfilling the desires of their minds. He said, it's able to reach down. And he says, that's where you were, by the way. That's where you were. And the love of Jesus Christ reaches down to the very depths, the deepest of sin. And He reaches down there because He's paid for that sin. And he reaches down there with his love, and anyone who will turn to him in faith, he pulls them to himself. And sometimes when I'm feeling too bad to be loved by God, I need to appropriate the love of Christ. How deep it is. How high it is. It's not low. It's not just a love that helps me deal with things from a human perspective. It's not the wisdom of this world. No, it's high enough to lift us up into the heavenly places with Christ. Look at verse 5. He's speaking here of God's great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, being made alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. And sometimes when I have my mind stuck in the lowliness of this world, I need to appropriate what is mine in Christ. The very height of the love of the Lord Jesus. Paul said, I want you to comprehend, I want you to make it your own, how wide and how long and how deep and how high is the love of Jesus Christ for you. And finally, the third blessing here of love in his prayer is the blessing of knowing what cannot be known. Verse 19 says, Go back to chapter 3. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. To know the love of Christ. Now we have finite minds. We cannot fully know everything about God. We cannot fully comprehend all of God's ways. But the word that he uses here, to know, means to know by experience. It's a knowledge grounded on personal experience. And he says, as we go through life and we encounter circumstances, good and bad, as we experience joy and sorrow, as we experience victory and defeat, as we experience gain and loss, health and sickness, laughter and tears. He said in all of it, we can learn and should learn more and more of the love of Christ for us. It's a love that passes knowledge. That word there that's in the King James, passes. It's the thought of someone taking something and throwing it beyond. If you've watched any of these guys doing the ski jump, the long jump and skiing, they come down, they go up, and they go out. And the goal is to go farther than anybody else. And it's almost as if a slingshot is taking them and throwing them out there. And this love of Christ is so far beyond anything that you or I can fully know here. It's so much better, so much deeper, so much higher, so much wider, so much longer, so much more special, so much more valuable than anything we can comprehend. It's like His glory and His grace and His power and His riches, and His love is unsearchable. All of those things we find in Ephesians are surpassing, they're exceeding, and we can't know it all. But God doesn't want us to overlook it. He wants us to experience more and more of that. He wants us to look back at what happened yesterday and last year and in that circumstance and not miss how He was loving us in that. He wants us to see how He's loving us now. I'm going to ask you to turn as we close to Romans chapter 8. This was read in the Lord's Supper this morning. It's another verse that talks about the love of Christ, a passage that does. And we're going to close with this as we think about the stability and the security of our lives as we trust in what cannot be touched. And as we are able to comprehend to some degree what cannot be measured, and as we are even enabled to know what cannot be known, knowing in the experience of our lives. Brothers and sisters in Christ, This is for you from Jesus Christ. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Whatever you're going through, no matter how difficult your circumstances are or may become, no matter what you have been through, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, might you step out by faith, and might you by experience and comprehension and faith, might you know the love of Christ for you. Nothing can separate you. Nothing can shake that soil of His faith. Nothing can shrink the dimensions. That's the love of Jesus Christ for you. If you don't know Him as your Savior, we read two times in Ephesians chapter 5 that Jesus Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. And He gave Himself for you. If you're willing to acknowledge that you're a sinner and He's the only Savior, He died for your sins. If you're willing to turn from yourself and you're willing to turn to Him, He said, I'll save you. I'd love to talk with you more about that. And there are others here who would. Might we all revel in the bottomless love of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for Your precious Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, He came from the highest of heights. He came down here to the lowest of lows, Father. Came to the very womb of the Virgin. Was born and lived a simple, difficult life upon this earth. Father, He experienced the lowest of human treatment as we spat upon Him and beat Him and mocked Him and hung Him on a cross as a common criminal. Father, we thank You that He even went to the depths of death and the depths of the grave. But Father, we thank You that He rose again. And this one who loved us and gave Himself for us is the one who's at Your right hand, loving us, Father, with a love that knows no measure. Father, with a love that will never change. Father, with a love which does not depend on us. And Father, we thank You for Your precious Son, the Lord Jesus, and the love with which He has loved us. Father, so often we feel unlovely and unlovable. Father, we thank You for Your Word and that we can take You at Your Word. Father, we pray for any here this morning who have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Father, might they see themselves separated from You by sin. Father, might today be the day that they by faith receive Your Son as Savior. Father, for those of us who know You, Father, may we revel in Your great love through Your Son, knowing that nothing can separate us. And Father, might Your love to us impact our life. Father, might Your love for us, as it did for Paul, constrain us to share that love with others. Father, might we find our strength and encouragement in You, in Your love. And we thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.